This is the History Podcast. Now, here's your host, Jason Thomason.
Welcome to the History Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Thomason, and today we travel back to a winter's day in February of 1933, when the world held its collective breath as an attempt was made on the life of one of America's most revered presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, you understand how important context is to me. Every event that happens in history, there's context behind it. Nothing happens in an isolated vacuum type situation. And when we remove context, we remove really the meaning behind a lot of what we study in history. This situation is no different. At the time of this assassination attempt on FDR's life, the United States was facing the crippling effects of the Great Depression. The country's economic backbone had been shattered. Unemployment was at its all-time high. 25% of the country was without work. And President Roosevelt, who had been elected a few months earlier in a major landslide over the incumbent Herbert Hoover, was awaiting to take office in March and was determined to combat this unparalleled crisis. One interesting note about the inauguration is this is the last time that the inauguration will take place in March. And because in January of 1933, the 20th Amendment is passed and ratified, but his next term will be under the guidance of the 20th Amendment. But on that fateful day in February, President Roosevelt was in Miami, Florida, delivering a speech to support the growing bank and trade crisis. Crowds had gathered to hear his address, desperate for hope, desperate for reassurance. However, amidst the enthusiasm and anticipation, there was an unforeseen danger that was lurking in the crowd. The would-be assassin was an innocent-looking man named Giuseppe Zangara, an Italian immigrant. And it's important to note that Zangara's act was not politically motivated, like a lot of these political assassinations throughout history have been. He directed his anger towards all politicians, and he saw FDR as the symbol of all of those people, feeling that they were responsible for his dire circumstances. And after failing to find work and battling chronic stomach pain, Zangara harbored an intense resentment towards those in power. Equipped with a .32 caliber pistol concealed in his pocket, Zangara managed to position himself close to the stage where President Roosevelt was seated. However, as fate would have it, a wooden platform obstructed Zangara's view. But he was undeterred, and so he quickly jumped on a folding chair and fired 5 shots in rapid succession towards the president. As the gunshots are still ringing out across the crowd, chaos fills the air. Shrieks and screams echoed through the crowd as Secret Service agents rushed to protect the president. And miraculously, FDR emerged unscathed. But the same could not be said for 5 individuals who unfortunately suffered severe injuries. Among them was Chicago's mayor, Anton Cermak, who bore the brunt of Zangara's rage. the event became a turning point not only for President Roosevelt's reputation, but also for the perception of the Secret Service's role in safeguarding political figures. While FDR's safety was their main priority, the assassination attempt exposed vulnerabilities in the security measures of the time. The investigation following the incident revealed that Zangara acted alone, emphasizing the importance of scrutinizing potential threats and maintaining a high level of vigilance. Moreover, it prompted a reassessment of presidential security measures, and you've seen a common theme through these episodes. This is going to lead to reforms that strengthen and protect the security for future presidents. Last week, we looked at, or last episode rather, we looked at how the attempted assassination on FDR's fifth cousin, Teddy Roosevelt, led to the Secret Service now protecting former presidents. The assassination attempt on FDR, who technically wasn't president yet, he was president-elect, led to security measures to change to where the Secret Service now protects future presidents. President Roosevelt, much like his fifth cousin Teddy, was undeterred by the incident and continued to deliver his speech to the desperately hopeful crowd. And don't think for a minute that FDR didn't channel some of that Teddy courage, thinking back to what he did in Milwaukee when he was actually shot. His resolute demeanor and ability to remain calm under fire, literal fire, further solidified his image as a leader capable of guiding the nation through this incredibly difficult economic situation. FDR will go on to win in 36. He will go on to win in 40. He will go on to win in 44 before his death in April of 45. This is an incredibly popular president in the country at the time. And his New Deal measures will help with the Great Depression, but it will not get us out of the Great Depression. Our entrance into World War II in 1942 will get us out of the Great Depression, but that leads us to another aspect and element of FDR's leadership. He not only led us through the Great Depression, but also through virtually the entire length of World War II. And when we look back at this historical event, we can reflect on the impact that this moment had not only on the country at large, not only on how the Secret Service was going to have to change some things to make sure that they crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's, but also how it shaped FDR in his time in office. The failed assassination attempt on his life serves as a reminder that even in the moments of great peril, just like his fifth cousin Teddy, the resilience and determination of leaders can inspire a nation. And if there's something that we need to kind of look at when we look at great presidents or people who are looked at as great presidents, whether we're talking about FDR or Reagan, they have an ability to lead and inspire a nation. The narrative that they are selling is something that people want to buy, but more importantly, they're able to sell it to them. As we conclude our exploration of FDR's assassination attempt on February 15th, 1933, I hope this episode has shed some light on a lesser known aspect of President Roosevelt's remarkable journey. He's a guy that we can instantly think of probably 10 things that we remember about FDR. This would likely not be one of them. But I would contend, as I already have in the last few moments, that this moment calloused him in a way that he needed to be calloused for what he was about to enter into as president of the United States in the heart of the Great Depression and then the eventual entrance into World War II. Remember, history is not merely a collection of facts and figures. This is what we try to get across to our listeners every time that we put out an episode. History is cool. It's a tapestry that is woven by stories of those who have come before us. Join me next time on the History Podcast as we look into the assassination attempt on Harry S. Truman. I look forward to our time together then, but until we meet again, I want to remind you, if you like the episode, please like it and subscribe to our podcast so that you get updates on when new episodes are released. I also want to encourage you to check out our new YouTube channel. It is at The History Podcast Show. Again, it is at The History Podcast Show. We would love for you to check it out. Also, feel free to subscribe to that too. We've got a lot of great resources there for you. And we're going to have many more to come in the next few weeks and months to come. I'd be remiss if I didn't leave you with this. Remember, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. We'll see you next time.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?